mansion, on a platform stuck in a city where I lay my hat. You can break me down in sorrow, I'm as solid as tomorrow, cause the gas will make me give it all. But I'm not alone, not alone, my voice is always steaming. If you're with me, we can take it all.
Guess will make me give it all.
Welcome to Orphan Radio. This is Matt. Tonight I'm with Mike Alexander and Benji King, and Mike is going to talk tonight about his new EP from his band Hip Shot Killer that came out back in July. And he was on the show about 2.5 years ago when his last full length came out. This new one is 7 songs. It's called Guns and Gas. And Mike, how you doing, first of all?
I'm doing, you know.
You're doing?
Yeah.
You're coming live to us from the record store you work at, right?
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah,
Which one is it?
Revolution Records.
Okay. I haven't been there yet. I haven't been in Kansas City in a little while. So, is there a lot of new stuff popping up like that?
Not so much. I mean, it's you know, I think there's been like the same 5 or 6 of them around for, you know, hell, going on 10 years now.
Yeah. Is Mills still around?
Mills is still around. Yeah. You know, Records of Merit still there. We're still here. Vinyl Renaissance is still open. I mean, everybody's kind of
Josie.
Josie, right. For sure. Yeah. Josie's like kind of our sister store too.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. We share some employees, and we're always just like, we got each other's back.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, on Record Store Day, they'd run out of bags, and so I backed them up with some bags, and then like last week we ran out of something, and they backed us up on that. It's cool.
Yeah. So this new 7-song EP from your band, you guys put it out in July, and for right now it's just digital, but hopefully it's going to come out on vinyl at some point.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, once we are capable of playing shows again, and once there are shows again to play, I'd definitely like to get it pressed and, you know, actually sell it. You know, in its physical form, but right now it's just digital.
Right. So tell us a little bit about how this one came about, and who, is it the same personnel as your last record?
Well, technically, yeah, but, Adam Phillips, from Gadgets and Architects and Other Americans actually played drums, in the studio for us because Buddy, our normal drummer, he had to have hip replacement surgery earlier this year, and he just wasn't going to be up playing in the studio for us. And so, you know, we asked Adam, and he came in and knocked it out of the park, and that was that. And now, hopefully, like, Buddy has a new hip. I just talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He's doing real well, and we're gonna start practicing here pretty soon, hopefully.
Nice. I love me some Adam Phillips.
Yeah, he killed it, man. He really, really killed it.
So, talk about this new album. Like, I'm assuming that you took the photo on the cover just because I know you're a photographer and I see your stuff on social media. So talk a little bit about how this EP came about and also that photo on the cover too.
You know, our last record came out in 2019, and you know, we just did some shows and a little bit of, like, you know, kind of regional out of town shows with that. But then after that, we kind of just didn't really do anything, you know, and, you know, songs weren't really coming and we were just, nothing really happening. And then the pandemic happened in the beginning of last year. And right around that time, we were kind of already talking about not playing shows for a while. And so it sort of kind of worked out that we just weren't going to play shows. And then, you know, during the summer when all the protests were happening and everything was really just kind of reaching a fever pitch, you know, I just started writing songs again, kind of from out of nowhere. It wasn't like I wasn't intending upon writing an EP's worth of kind of politically charged songs, but I ended up doing that. And then we, recorded them and released them. Oh, and the cover photo, I took that during one of the protests in Kansas City last summer. There was like a weekend's worth of them, or like 4 days worth of it, where there just were thousands of people in the streets, and making their voices heard. And I took a lot of photos, and then all of those, all of that stuff ended up really kind of being a really, really good backdrop for the narrative that I wanted to work with these new songs. And I ended up just writing the EP and recorded it, and then it came out. We'll be right back.
Where did you record this, these seven songs?
We did them all at Weights and Measures Studio here in Kansas City, with Dwayne Trower in his new space. Although the acoustic song, I think it's like the sixth, maybe the fifth or sixth song on the EP. I did that at my house. Like, that's actually the demo. I actually recorded that, right after I got home from one of the protests. Like, I still had tear gas, like, burning my face, like, when I cut that. Yeah. And I wrote it in 10 minutes and recorded it in 5. And when it came time to, go into the studio and do everything, I was like, well, I'll just re-record that. I was like, fuck that, dude. I'm just going to put out the demo. The demo's like, it's so raw. And like, I don't sing as good on it as I would like, but I just, the overall feeling of it was exactly what I was going for. So I just put that out.
Right. What do you remember what the last show was before everything shut down that you guys played?
Yeah. It was at the Riot Room on March the 5th. With Belle and the Vertigo Waves. Okay. And I was only reminded of that because I actually did her podcast last week, and we kind of did a little backtracking and figured that out.
Oh, nice. So do you guys, so you said when you can start playing shows again, you guys said you're going to start practicing again here in the next little while. So for now, you don't have anything booked as far as playing live yet?
No, not at all. Although every year at Revolution Records, my record store, we do a big charity toy drive for the Hope House, which is a local toy charity kind of that gives toys to kids that don't have them around Christmas time. And we always end up playing that. And I think we've played it like 6 years in a row now. And I'd really like to have it together so that we could play that. And that's always around Christmas time. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see.
So in Kansas City right now, is everything, I know it's not back to normal, but like there's live shows are happening now pretty normally, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't make me feel comfortable going to them.
Yeah. You know?
And I think a lot of people kind of feel that way too.
I haven't because there's still any shows.
This totally fucked up pandemic that's happening. And, people are just kind of pretending like it's not out there, and that there aren't like thousands of people being hospitalized and dying every day. And, and that number is only going to go up too, because it's getting cold again. And there's still a pandemic happening and people fucked up, man.
Yeah. Benji, you haven't gone to see anybody play, have you?
Last weekend, I actually went and saw the Get Up Kids at the Lemonade Park with my friend Lisa. She bought tickets. And so asked me if I wanted to go. And so we went to that. And I had a surprise tap on my shoulder from Thomas Becker.
Oh, really?
Oh, Thomas was there?
Yeah, he That's apparently cool. was in town for a wedding or something. And so if I hadn't ran into him there, I probably would not have known he was here.
Hmm. Yeah. What is that Lemonade Park place like?
I don't know. I mean, it's a outdoor venue. It's kind of set up a little weird.
It's basically a tractor trailer that somebody just pulled up in this parking lot kind of behind Voltaire, which is this pretty killer restaurant down there across the street from the old Stockyards. And they just, they have outdoor shows. Actually, that was kind of the only place doing live music this time last year. And it was actually pretty cool because they had it all really spaced out and very limited number of people were allowed in, and it was legit. Like one of my other bands I play with, we played there last year.
Mike,
I never went to it when it was under it was like last summer or anything. So I've been there twice this year. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went, it was when we were opening back up and nobody was wearing masks, everybody was vaccinated. It was all, everything was behind us and it was looking great. And then,
yeah. Yeah. That lasted a whole, couple of weeks, maybe
month. Yeah. Maybe a month.
Have you ever played a show at Knuckleheads?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Tons.
I still have not been to that place, but I just look at the Kansas City music calendar, once a month just to see what's coming there, even though I don't live there anymore, but they get a lot of cool shows.
Yeah, they do. It's a really cool venue, actually. That country band I'm in, we played there a number of times, and it's a lot of fun. I like that place.
What's the name of your country band?
The Starhaven Rounders.
Okay. What, and Davies burned down, right?
Sure did.
Damn.
I drove by it the other day, and it didn't look like, I mean, I've been under the impression that they were going to rebuild it, but it's boarded up and doesn't look like there's any activity going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. I heard that too, but also, like, there is so much construction on Main Street right now, and there has been construction on Main Street, like, right in front of Davies for, like, I mean,
it's a perpetual state of construction, dude. Yeah, it's never going
because
away.
That's right, because they're replacing all the water lines along there, and they're putting in the streetcar at the same time. So just like it's like even if they were open, like you couldn't get there. Like, that's how fucked up the construction is.
It's like 435 South, dude, between I-35 and the Grandview Triangle. That has been under construction since as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, I think you're right.
One section or another. It's like they'll work on a section for a long time, and then they'll move to another section, and then they come right back to that other section. It's how Main Street's becoming.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mike, I was going to ask you, did you ever play a show in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I am? Do you know?
Yeah, I know I have. I can't think right off the bat with who, but I know I played there before.
I was thinking about that today, and I saw the Architects play here in 2000, I think it was either 2009 or 2010, and they opened up, you guys opened up for Flogging Molly. I just didn't know if you were in the band at that point.
Not at that point, I wasn't.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, I was just telling Benji about, there's a club here called the Milestone that's like the outhouse of Charlotte, and it's been open since 1969, and it's still open. And like,
oh, wow.
Dude, the list of bands that have played there, if you go on their website, I'll text it to you, but it's just insane.
That's cool. I've never heard of that place.
I feel like I talked to Adam Phillips about it, and I feel like he told me that they played there at some point or another.
Huh. What's it called again?
It's called the Milestone.
Huh. And it's in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Huh. So, maybe I have played there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. You probably wouldn't forget it. It's a dump. I was also thinking.
I played a lot of dumps, man. Like, it's easy to forget sometimes.
I was also thinking today, like, you guys are a few years older than me. I know, like, the Rumba Box was, like, the immediate predecessor kind of to the Daily Grind. Was there in Kansas City, was there, like, besides the Outhouse, was there a Kansas City punk club that you guys were going to before the Rumba Box?
Before the Rumba Box?
Yeah.
Not before the Rumba Box.
No, not really. Not. I mean, there were clubs that, like, there was the Human Observation Lab where the Rumba Box was.
Right.
But that was before my time by a few years.
Yeah, me too.
And then there were other, like, concurrent places, like Mike, do you remember the original Green Light place?
Yeah,
like, sure. Over there off of behind that Quick Trip on 31st and State or Southwest Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I remember going there, and that was, like, maybe at the same time as the Rumba Box the Outhouse.
I think that was, like, right before it, if nothing. Like, I think because I know we went and saw a couple of shows at the Green Light, and that was that was right before the Rumba Box. I mean, like, you know, the Rumba Box opened, I think. Well, you know what? It opened right after the big flood. Remember, because, like, the first show that they had down there was that big benefit for Mike Check, because Mike got hit Yeah, he got hit by a car the night of the flood.
Jesus.
Yeah, and hit and run, and then
he got fucked up.
Dude. He got really fucked up, and then so they did that big show. You know what? I have the video, Mike, the video zine. I can't remember what it's called or what it, but it's got the whole show. Like, it's got Halcyon Days. It's got Halcyon Days on there.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think now that I think about it, I don't think I have that video. I think I loaned that to Brad when he was making the Outhouse movie, and I'll never see that again.
No, you probably won't. You probably won't.
You guys remember a place that I don't even remember how long this was around for, the Fuse Box on Troost?
Oh, sure. That place was great, dude.
That place was fucking fun. Year, right?
Yeah, it was open for a year and a half at least.
Well,
it
was open for like a while. Well, it may have been about, the thing about those times is it's hard to remember, or it's hard to know. Like a year and a half seemed like 4 years. It was probably going strong for like a year and a half. But, that space was there for many years after that, untouched. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I, at one point, years down the road, I went to a show there with Dave and Scott, and it was crazy. It was like a time capsule. It had not been changed at all.
Well, another place I was going to ask you guys about was, do you remember the Back Room in Lawrence?
Oh, yeah, I remember that place.
That wasn't around that long either, was it?
No, but you know what, Benji, the Breakups played with the Queers there one time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We put,
yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah, that was the show where we played with the Queers, or no, we didn't play with the Queers there. We saw the Queers play with Sunny Day Real Estate.
That was at the Hideaway.
No, the Hideaway. Okay. That was the Back Hideaway. Room. Was the Back Room the one that was by the, it was like a pool hall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
It was, it was like Northwest Lawrence. It was like out off of like whatever that other main drag is there. I think it's
yes. Iowa. I know. We did play with the Queers there and face to face too, if I recall.
No, that was at the Bottleneck. Yeah. That was a bad show. That was a bad show. We played awful. Face to face was not good. That was just a bad night, dude. I remember that.
Wait, that was a Breakup show?
Oh yeah, that was like one of the last Breakup shows. Like that was when like Aaron and I weren't even speaking to each other. Like, oh my god, dude, we hated each other so fucking much, dude.
Where was the first Breakup show?
The what?
Oh, the very first?
Yeah, where was the first Breakup show?
Dude,
I want to say I think that the first time we played, we did a show in our practice space. The one, Mike, you remember the very first practice space?
The one where the Mercy Seat is now? Yeah.
Yes. Sure. I think our first performance on any level was there, and we had all of our friends come down and had kind of a little party thing. But our very first actual show at a club, I believe, was at the Rumba Box. And I recall because I got fucking hammered because I was so nervous and I puked and
sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like the way
1994 to me.
Yeah. but we played, we were one of the sort of house bands at the Rumba Box for a little bit there. At least, towards the end of it, but we practiced there. And so we played a few shows there before it closed.
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, we used to play at the Rumba Box, once a month, it seemed like, because remember we were practicing there too.
Yeah.
So instead of us getting paid for gigs, that we were drawing hundreds of people to at that point. We didn't get paid, but we got to practice there for free.
I gotta know that you're all right. I let the protest, not knowing where you fell. You're a doll wrapped up. We'll be right back.
If you guys had to pick your favorite local bands of all time, who do you think they would be? Mike, you go first. Kansas City or Lawrence?
All time, I think one of my favorite bands from around here, I loved that band Secular Theme. You know, it was Rob Lowe and Matt Pryor's band before they split, and you know, Matt became Matt from the Get Up Kids and Rob became Aubrey, whatever his synthy move New York stuff is. They were really, really great. Just totally fucked up spastic punk rock, like, you know, kind of like Nation of Ulysses type stuff. I really like them. I really like Creedence 66 back in the day. I thought they were great. Now probably my favorite local band is Emmeline Twist. They're sort of this kind of like dancey, shoegazy kind of band. I like them quite a bit.
I think you talked about them on the last time you were on a couple years
ago. Oh, really? I might have. Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah. Benji, what about you?
You know, I've kind of thinking about it, and it's pretty easy for me, but it's just true. I was like, well, the Revolvers are like my favorite local band ever. I mean, seriously, I as far as like the kind of music I'm into, and you know, maybe I didn't always appreciate them at the time as much when you know, we were first, when they were, you know, when you guys were first playing, Mike.
Oh, well, like, you're not alone in that. I mean, no one appreciated us when we were together. It was only until we broke up that anybody gave a fuck. But
no, I mean, I saw you guys plenty of times when you were together, though, but it was something you take for granted somewhat, you know, and like, but I really think that album you guys did, and I know all the, you know, the ins and outs of, yeah, or at least enough of the ins and outs of that process and what that meant to you guys. But
yeah, I'd really love to not talk about the recording of that record.
No, exactly. No, of course not. But that's what, but it's such a great album. I really love that album. I know Mike or Matt does too. And
I appreciate, I mean, I'm glad people enjoy it. I just don't, I just had a really rotten time.
Definitely. But it is a great album, and I think it's one of those things that is, from my perspective, one of, you know, it's obviously subjective, but it's one of the best things to ever come out of this town.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure Justin does too, if he ever would, you know, listen to something like this.
Oh, I mean, yeah, and well, hopefully he does. If so, hey, Justin. I really like that band, The Whiffs.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
I saw them last weekend too. They opened, or they were one of the opening bands. And I love Rory. I've known him for a long time, but they have this power pop thing down to like a science, and it's really good. I enjoy it a lot. So it's fun to see that happening. You know, I don't know what, I think they're going to record a new album, but their last album is pretty good too. So, anyways, I dig them.
Yeah. Neither of you guys said Cock News.
No, they're up there. You know, I mean, no, we actually, I think it was the second show I ever went to the Outhouse, in a very consequential night, for reasons we won't get into, with Mike and some of our other skate bros and our crew. We went to a show at the Outhouse, and it was, the headliner, I believe, was Second Chance, and the opening bands were Cock News and Wayback Machine. Mm. And Cock News was one of their early shows, one of their first shows, and it was not what they ended up kind of evolving into, you know, shortly thereafter. But that was the first time we saw Wayback Machine too, Mike, right?
That was like the second time I'd seen it. I saw them open for All. But like, I mean, a couple of weeks before that, probably.
I was there too at the All Show. I think the All Show was after. Sean came out with like the straight jacket thing on.
Yeah, that was the All Show. That was fucking cool.
That was with Scott Reynolds and All too. That was after the Second Chance show.
Yeah, you might be right.
Just because that Second Chance show, we went to Perkins that night.
Yeah. I got punched in the face at that show. I got my lip busted open at that show.
Wait, now I got to know, what did early cock news sound like if it didn't, if it,
you know. It was just, they were, okay, so they weren't as, their stage presence had not developed as much. And so they were a little more corny, and they did some like Gallagher type jokes, like a salad on a plate or something, and threw it out in the crowd. And like, it just was a little bit less refined. And then after the next,
it was fucking stupid.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
It was fucking stupid. Look, I'll fucking say it, dude. Like, you know, I never liked that band really, and I'm friends with people who like them a lot, but I don't know. I thought that they were just painfully fucking boring before they had their whole, like, you know, shtick happening. And then even when they got that, it was like, oh, well, cool. Now they're just a shitty band with a fucking, you know, this like Confederacy of Scum dick swinging thing or whatever. I don't know. I always thought most of those bands were pretty fucking stupid.
Did you guys go to the Confederacy of Scum super show at the Outhouse?
I did.
Fuck no, I didn't go anywhere near that shit.
I went too, Benji.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time. I was somewhere doing something not that.
It was, you know, I don't know. I'm really, to be honest with you, I don't know that it was a good time as so much as I didn't watch a lot of bands. I hung out in the parking lot with my friends mostly. And the, you know, B-Face was there, and the Tunnel Rats came down, and so there were some cool people. It was a fun time. I had a good time. Did you have fun, Mike or Matt?
I actually only went to see Nashville Pussy. Do you remember? Remember before Nashville? I don't know if you guys ever caught them in the first few times they played in Kansas City, like before they even had a full length album out. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They were good.
And hell yeah, they were.
So that was the only reason I went. Some of my friends stayed, like, and saw everybody. But I've seen Anti-Scene here because they're from Charlotte, but I don't give a shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you went to their 50th anniversary, didn't you?
75th. No, it was 25th, I think.
25th?
It was back in, like, 2009, maybe? Yeah.
So that must have been their 40th.
I think they started in 83 or something.
Okay, okay.
But
I just remember at the time when you went to that, I was like, holy shit, 20, yeah, damn.
Yeah, they're around here, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Was Mike on the Breakups tour or not? That was after your time, right?
He went on a tour. We went on our first tour, like a Midwest thing.
Yeah.
Mike was with us, and we played out of town with Mike.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, man, that was the tour. That was like kind of the first time I'd gone out of town and played shows.
Right. And then
I know we played St. Louis because we got in that huge fight.
Yeah.
Or a huge fight happened after our gig at the house we were playing at. Like, these dudes showed up and started causing trouble, and, you know, just one thing, just shit just popped off, and, you know, it was just like a total fucking riot. And then I know we played like Chicago on that tour, because it was the first time we all played the Fireside Bowl.
We played the Fireside.
Yeah.
We stayed at Mark Ruvalo's that night.
Yeah, that's when we met Mark Ruvalo. He was cool. We played a handful of other places on that tour. I don't really remember.
Okay, so let me think real quick. So we played Chicago, of course. We played we played in Wisconsin. What was that little town?
Not Green Bay, but like Sheboygan, maybe. Or maybe we did play Green Bay.
Was it started with the B? Beloit.
Oh, Beloit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
At that record store. And the same, I think Skank and Pickle or somebody was doing like a free show up the street.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's right, dude. That's right. I forgot about that.
We played for
literally no one at our gig. Like,
we played for the dude who worked at the store and his girlfriend and one of their employees.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were really cool.
They were very super
fucking cool. I remember that part.
Did you guys ever play at the Cog Factory in Omaha?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the breakup. Well, you might have played there without me.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, I've played there with.
Mike's a real big fan of that place.
I do like the Cock Factory.
No, I know.
Yeah, I like the Cock Factory a lot, actually. Even, I mean, that was like a shithole fucking club that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I have very fond memories of, like, there was a come and go, like, right across the street, and they sold 40s. And so we go
remember
40s and come back and just kick it out in front of the club.
Wasn't the stage really high?
It was higher than your normal punk club stage, but it wasn't, like,
super okay. High. I always felt like, I think, I just remember it being, like, fairly high. It was like, you know, you had to climb onto it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't small, for sure.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool scene there, though.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's actually a documentary that someone made about the Cock Factory. It came out a couple of years ago. I don't know if it actually got like a release or anything, or if it just went straight to YouTube, but it's pretty interesting. It's, you know, it's about an hour long.
Yeah.
You know, that place was open for a really long time, and they had a lot of shows that happened up there too.
I still haven't seen the Outhouse documentary. Have you guys?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I was there the at the premiere.
Oh, I saw it at Liberty Hall?
Once.
I was at the second one. They did it at the Uptown Theater in Kansas City.
I was at that one.
Yeah.
I went to both of them, actually. I went to the first one, but I couldn't stay because it didn't get – it was delayed, and my brother was in town visiting from Japan, and I had to get back home from Lawrence, and the movie was supposed to start at 7, and at 9 o'clock I left.
I remember that. Yeah, Chris was there too. While that was going on.
I had to take my brother to the airport at 5 in the morning, and I wanted to spend at least a couple hours with him. And so, like, I had to burn out. But then when I finally did see it, you know, I won't. It's worth watching.
Yeah, I need to check it out.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely, you know, it's like a lot of music documentaries, I think, about places like that. Like, there's, you know, it's hard to cover everything you want to know, you know, about a place like that in kind of like a short period of time. So it seems long, you know, by the end of it, but it's still a good documentary and worth watching for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you grew up around here and you went there, you know, it's totally cool to see that stuff.
Yeah.
I would say this real quick about it. It's 2 hours long. It could have been about a half hour shorter, but what I will say is one of the unfortunate things is that it was made by one person with no input from anyone else or help from anyone else.
And you can tell
very much. And so that's an unfortunate aspect of it, because there were a lot of people that were involved with the Outhouse that knew a lot more about it than the one person that made the movie.
Right. Have you guys seen Green Room? Did you guys see that movie?
No, but I heard it was really good. It looked cool.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Which one is that?
It's Patrick Stewart. He plays like Patrick Stewart plays a Nazi, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like a punk band's on tour and they take this show last minute and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and there's all these like neo-Nazi dudes there, and then it kind of goes from there. It's a great movie, but
I can't remember if I saw it or not. It sounds familiar.
Like 5 or 6 years old, but my last question for each of you guys was going to be, what's either the worst or / sketchiest or worst and sketchiest show that you ever played? Could have been a house, could have been fucking middle of nowhere, could have been anything. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Man.
I know mine. I can tell you mine.
I don't know where to start, man. Yeah, Benji, what's yours? Sketchiest show.
Okay, so this is a breakup show when Mike wasn't in the band anymore. We were in Eugene, Oregon, and we played this. There was this festival thing called Refuse to Exist or something. I don't remember, but it was like vegans and like, you know, like militant, like crust punks, and it was out in the middle of this forest. Okay, and it was like, where there were these people living in trees and shit near where I'm serious. And so they had generators, and it was like supposed to be a 2-day festival, and all these bands were supposed to come and play. And the first day we get there, we're the only band that has shown up, and there are all these people, they have these TVs with generators, and they're showing like videos of animals being tortured and cops beating up people. And so they're all riled up and shit. Well, we're this pop punk band from Kansas City, right? So then there's no authorities anywhere for miles and miles and miles. We're literally in the middle of nowhere. And when we set up and started playing, and then a bunch of these dudes come up and started grabbing the mic and kicking over our equipment and shit, and there was absolutely nothing we could do about it. And we played as long as we could nicely, and then stopped and loaded the fuck up and got out. It was terrifying.
Yeah, that sounds real fucked up, man. I'm glad I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, it was. I had no idea that that's what we were expecting. I mean, the dudes that had booked the show were cool, and we were supposed to play in their basement, but because this festival thing was going on, they were like, "Oh, we'll get you guys on that." And I would have rather just hung out in Eugene and done something else. But
dude, that's exactly how Green Room starts.
I mean, seriously, this could have been some shit like that. It made me think of it.
You guys got to watch that movie and report back to me what you think. All right, Mike, what about you? Do you think?
Oh, wow.
Or just most interesting if there's not one that's like super sketchy.
Oh, okay. I played a gig, it was a few years ago. This is the strangest gig I've ever played. A few years ago, it was a pickup gig for this, this Tom Petty tribute band. Okay. I don't remember the name of or anything. And they were playing out at Sandstone Amphitheater, which is this huge place out in fucking Bonner. You know where it is. Mm-hmm. It's like a 15,000 seater, you know, outdoor amphitheater, probably bigger than that. And they do this show every year called, like, you know, the greatest concert ever. And it's basically just a bunch of tribute bands that all get together. And these guys, this Tom Petty tribute band, they lost their guitar player, somebody, so they needed somebody. And so I basically was a fill-in. So I don't really know anything about these dudes or about the show or anything. Like, I know I'm getting paid $200 and I show up at this time on this date. So I get there with my amp and everything, and I set up, and everybody's kind of cool, but everybody's a little weird too. And at one point, we get everything set up and they're, okay, you know, right before you guys play, they're going to come out and do the Star Spangled Banner, you know, to kind of like get the crowd happening. Like, all right, that's fine. And now, mind you, I'm thinking there's going to be no one at this gig. Like, I'm like, dude, we are going to be playing to like 300 people in a place that you could put 25,000 people in. And boy, was I wrong, because 15,000 fucking people showed up for this thing to see a bunch of fucking tribute bands because, well, it's Kansas City and that's just what happens. So like right before we play, there's like these three girls just kind of milling around backstage, and like one of them has like this like a red, white, and blue top on. It's kind of like, it's just like a bustier kind of thing. It's like real tight on her, you know. And I've seen her from like far away, right? I can't really get a good look, but I can tell what she looks like and what's happening. So they come out on stage. This dude dressed as Buckethead, which I'm not sure if you guys know what that is, but Buckethead
was
like this really crazy solo guitar player dude who, like, he was in Guns N' Roses for a second, and like his whole thing was that he wore this like weird white mask and with a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head.
Yeah.
That was his whole thing. He was Buckethead, right? No one knew his real identity. No one knew what he looked like. Just this killer guitar player. Well, this dude dressed like that comes out and he starts doing the Star Spangled Banner just on the guitar, right? You know, kind of like the Hendrix version. And these other two girls, they're standing there next to him. They've straddled him, right? They each have American flags. And this other girl, the girl who I saw before with like the red, white, and blue bustier thing on, she's just kind of dancing and kind of just swirling around like to this guy playing the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird in and of itself. And she gets kind of a little closer to me, and I realize it's body paint on her chest. Like, she is naked and has had an American flag airbrushed across her tits, which were nice, probably fake, but all the same.
USA! USA.
Yeah, and I'm just standing there looking at this and like looking at all these people out in the crowd. I'm like, this is the strangest fucking moment I've ever found myself in.
Wow.
Oh, and so we go out and play, and we start playing, and we're doing Refugee or something. And I look down, and there's this girl and this dude right on the front row. The guy has an Insane Clown Posse shirt on. The girl Oh yeah. The girl has an Insane Clown Posse tattoo, you know, like the little guy with a hatchet.
A Juggalette tattoo.
Yeah, she's got that. And she's got a black eye that this guy clearly gave her. And I'm like,
oh man.
Dude, this is fucked, man. I was like, I got my money and got the fuck out of there so fast. I
did not my $200 and let me go.
Wait, was
I
this?
Did, oh man, I was so stoked. I mean, I remember they paid me cash. I was like, oh, killer. I'm not going to have to chase anybody down for this shit. Like, I was.
Was it a local Tom Petty cover band?
I don't know. I think they were from like Blue Springs or something.
Okay.
Blue Springs. You know what? They were because I practiced with them once and I had to go out to either Blue Springs or Independence or somewhere out there. So I'm pretty sure they're from around here.
Oh yeah. I was going to ask you this. I remember Adam Phillips telling me and Berwanger about a show that the Gadgets played where, like, I think they were in Vancouver or something. And like, they got dragged into some fight with like a bunch of bikers and Adam got like,
Yeah. I wasn't there, but okay. I feel like I kind of was just because I've heard Adam tell that story so many fucking times now that I feel like I was actually there. Yeah. Like pretty much they played this show where there were a bunch of Hell's Angels that were like friends with the promoters of the club and they were just beating up on everybody and, you know, just being total fucking dicks. And I guess one of them shoved Adam, and then so Adam shoved it back, and then he got his lip just split way the fuck open. They had to take him to the hospital and get like 5 stitches. And it was a whole thing. You should have him on and have him tell that story because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I do.
Like all the shit that happened, like, and apparently while all this is, Benji, you'll appreciate this. So like while there's like this absolute riot that's now happening, right? Like everybody's beating up on everybody else. All the fucking bikers are kicking everybody's ass. Like, they're trying to get the equipment out. The Boston's are pissed off. Everybody's freaking out. The whole time this is happening, Jim Gibson was on the Boston's bus, like stealing wine and like all this other stuff, like off of their fucking.
Of course.
Like, they had all their like after show stuff on the bus, and like I mean, he wasn't like doing it. Like he had permission. You know, like Dickie or somebody was just like, hey, man, go on the bus and you can grab some wine or whatever. And so Jim's on there, like, as all this is fucking going down, Jim's like jacking all their stuff. And he had no idea what was happening until he comes off the bus and everybody's like coming out of the club with black eyes and blood. And just, he's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the shit like that used to happen in Jim all the time.
All right. So, again, Hip Shot Killer, new 7-song EP out, Guns and Gas. Get it at their Bandcamp page and follow them on Instagram, Hip Shot Killer. Mike, anything else you want to say? And what song do you want to end the episode with?
I don't know. Just look out for us. Hopefully next year we'll be playing. I'm already actually working on new songs that will eventually be on another full-length LP. Or something. And yeah, that's it. Let's listen to the last song on the record. I think that's kind of a fitting song to go out on.
All right, Benji, thanks. Mike, thanks. And everybody go to the Hip Shot Killer Bandcamp page and pay for the new EP. And pay more than they ask you for, because that's what you're supposed to do, people.
All right. It's much appreciated. I didn't want to have faith in you. It would only that stay true. I got caught up in the smoke and shouts of lies that matter most. I don't want to be like you.